This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Welcome to your second hour of your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the Allstate Skyline studio. The 101st General Assembly was sworn in Springfield on Wednesday, and one longtime representative was not among those being sworn in. Democratic State Representative Lou Lang of Skokie resigned just a few days before the inauguration to enter the business world, as they say. Representative Lang joins us now on the phone. Lou, thank you so much for joining me.
Great to be with you, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning. What prompted your decision to step away from the General Assembly and go into the lobbying business?
It wasn't my plan to do that. After the election, I simply got a fantastic business offer that I could not in good conscience reject. So that was the one and only reason. It happens. Lots of people have left the General Assembly to move on to what someone might call greener pastures, or certainly different pastures.
And you've been in the legislature since 87. I mean, you have a wealth of experience in the General Assembly.
Certainly, I've seen a lot of things change, a lot of things happen in almost 32 years. And, you know, in terms of public policy and in terms of the agenda of the Democratic Party in the House, this was actually a good time to leave. We now have 74 Democrats in the House, the most we've had in a very long time. We have a Democratic governor, and I think they'll be able to put the agenda and the public policy goals that we all share together.
Well, you've said you've seen a lot of changes. What's the biggest change you think that you've seen in Springfield?
The lack of bipartisanship. And so you'll recall that just recently, after Bruce Rauner became governor 4 years ago, we devolved into a mess in Springfield because he was unwilling to sit at the table with Democrats. He had hard and fast views on things, and he didn't understand that Springfield was a place of compromise. Governors that have been successful and legislatures that have been successful have been those who have been willing to sit with both sides and not worry about who gets the credit, but only worry about the people that live in the state of Illinois. And indeed, the budget stalemate of 3 years was only broken when Republicans said to Rauner, go away, and we're going to get this done, and sat with Democrats and negotiated a budget.
Isn't that symptomatic, though, of our politics in general, of that the idea of how Republicans and Democrats, more than ever, politicians play to bases that are at the further extremes of what the general populace is, and that in playing to those extremes develop these hard and fast rules that make compromise so difficult?
Certainly, in general, that is exactly correct. So a lot of members will say to a sponsor of a bill, gee, I'd really like to vote for that, but that'll hurt me in my next primary. They're not often worried about their next election in a November election. They're more worried about their next primary being hit from the left or being hit from the right, depending on who the candidate is or where they are. The legislature will improve, and the tenor of politics in Illinois will improve when members realize that the easiest way to get reelected is to do your job and to do it well and not worry so much about pandering to one group or another group. We have much too much of that.
But isn't that hard to do when necessarily you have big moneyed interests that are, you know, willing to support primary challenges to incumbents?
Certainly it's hard to do, but we need people who are statesmen. Take the 15 Republicans who chose to vote for the compromised budget that was put together that finally broke the 3-year stalemate. Those are people who were not worried about being reelected. And in fact, a couple of them, I think, lost. Several of them did not run for reelection because of the pressure of Bruce Rauner and his people. But while this is a hard goal to reach, it's a goal we must reach if we're going to have the kind of support from people that the legislature would be able to thrive better in.
Well, let me ask you this. Is perhaps maybe an issue of more fair redistricting would create that kind of a playing field, where, as you say, you know, people are more concerned about winning a primary than the general. Would a more fair map-making process, a more nonpartisan map-making process, maybe play into that?
So I've heard this discussion about maps before, and I don't really buy into it. And the reason I don't is that, first, every map that's ever been drawn in my career, we've had several, mostly written by Democrats, one written by Republicans. Every one of them goes to court. Every one of them is scrutinized by a federal district court who passes on those maps and says, yes, they're okay. And in fact, no map has ever been rejected in my years in the Illinois General Assembly. So, additionally, when we've drawn maps, we've drawn them to increase minority participation, which is what we're supposed to do under the Federal Voting Rights Act. Drawing maps by computers, drawing maps in ways that other states that aren't quite as differing as Illinois in our population, doing it that way would mean we'd have two or three less African-American legislators, maybe two or three less Latino legislators. The maps we have drawn, if you look at them, maybe they look funny, and certainly we could use some reform in our map-making process. But the whole discussion that people have that we have to throw the map process out because it's inherently unfair is belied by the fact that the federal district court always approves them.
We're speaking with former Democratic State Representative Lou Lang of Skokie. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joined on the phone by former Democratic State Representative Lou Lang of Skokie, who's entering his second career in public service, working on the other side of the other estate, as it were, in politics, I guess is a good way to say it. Lou, you said leaving now, you know, with Democrats in control of state government, with J.B. Pritzker to be sworn in tomorrow, bigger Democratic majorities in the legislature, you feel it's comfortable that it's a good time to move into a new realm here?
I think so. If ever I was going to leave, I wouldn't want to leave at a time where some people in my caucus felt my voice was more needed than it will be. 74 Democrats, you need 60 to pass a bill. We're in good shape. The Democratic Party is in good shape. The people of the state of Illinois are in good hands with that legislature and with Governor Pritzker taking the reins. I think if I was ever going to leave, this is the best time for me.
And Greg Harris was named as the deputy majority leader.
A spectacular choice, a good friend of mine, and in fact, the person I predicted would become the majority leader. He is going to hit the ground running. He knows how legislature works. He knows how the budget process works. He's got the respect of the members on both sides of the aisle because of his hard work, and Greg will be a phenomenal majority leader.
And I do have to agree with you. I think he does have a great deal of respect on both sides of the aisle, particularly with his work in human services appropriations efforts.
Absolutely. So before he came the overall budget guru, his specialty was human service budgeting. And, with scant resources, he did a yeoman's job in putting budgets together. Obviously, during some of the rounder years, there were tremendous cuts. He had to go through those budgets, figure out how to smooth them through and how to keep as many of the human service agencies afloat as he possibly could. Some during the Rauner years got hurt badly. Some people have lost their services. Some of those organizations will never reopen. But Greg is the guy that kept many of them open and providing great service to the people of Illinois.
So looking at these early days and what is still a transition period as we get to inauguration at noon tomorrow with the new administration of Governor Rauner, I mean, we're hearing lots of I don't want to go as far as to say kumbaya, but actually some pretty good comments from even the Republican minority leaders in the House and Senate. Even the fact that Pritzker showed up at a reception for the Republican legislators, that, you know, people seem to be looking at wanting to start anew again. And I think that's even something that Speaker Madigan touched on about closing one chapter and opening another.
JB is serious about bringing people together within the confines of government. He has said more than once, I don't really care who gets the credit. There's plenty of credit to go around. There are good ideas on both sides of the aisle. And he's very serious about creating the relationships necessary to do that. Governors in other states and governors in this state who have been successful have all been governors who have been able to sit in a room with people of divergent views and try to forge compromises and try to move forward. That is what he's done in the business world. That is why he won this election by 16 points, and that is why he'll be an excellent governor.
How quickly do you see change happening? And I mean that in a way, as we know some of the points that Pritzker talked about in his campaign, things like legalizing marijuana, things like trying to find resources and move forward with a capital bill. I mean, you know, as far as the marijuana issue, you're vastly familiar with that from your time in the legislature. But even things like a capital bill are not things that can happen truly overnight.
I think there will be a push to do some things early on, but I think the people will want to hold back the reins and make sure they do them well. A perfect example would be the recreational cannabis legislation. And so it'd be easy to say, well, let's do it. Let's put it on the board. Let's vote on it. Let's make it law. But from my efforts on passing medicinal cannabis some years ago, I know that there's a lot of branches and a lot of pitfalls. And it's far better to do it slower than it is to do it wrong. So speed is not always in the best interest of the legislature. Those things that they can do quickly, they ought to do quickly. Not every bill has 500 pages. But the things that take time, they ought to take whatever time they need to do them well. Because sometimes once you do something, it's harder to fix than it is to write a new bill from the get-go.
What is something they ought to do quickly, do you think?
Well, I think they ought to start talking about revenue right away. I don't think you can address the needs of Illinois and address this year's budget, the needs of the universities, the human service industry, et cetera, unless you know what revenue you're going to have. So that in some ways affects that marijuana bill you talked about, but in other ways it's just, are we going to, for instance, do a graduated income tax? If we are, let's get on it. Let's figure out what the rates are and try to move it. Now, that can't happen this year. We can put it on the ballot for 2020, but I think it would send a strong signal to the people of Illinois that we're serious about putting the revenue together that's necessary to take care of human needs and infrastructure needs in the state of Illinois. We should be talking about what components will pay for a capital bill. For those that are not listening, a capital bill is an infrastructure bill, fixing the schools and the roads and building hospitals and the money necessary to repair the University of Illinois and the other state universities, and a long list, roads, bridges. Those things require what's called a capital bill. It requires more votes to pass, but you have to have the money to pay for it. And so there ought to be attention paid very early on as to what components will go into paying for that bill.
Yeah, well, and that's what I mean. It's not only the what goes into a capital bill, where are you prioritizing? prioritize, you know, the spending, but it's how do you raise the money to float the bonds? It's a very complicated process.
It is. The last capital bill we passed in Illinois, I was the proud sponsor of. It was a $31 billion capital bill. Some of the money came from the feds. Some came from video gaming. Some came from small increases in liquor taxes and some other things. It's hard to put it together because you're paying for the bonds over 25 years, and you want to make sure you do it right. On the other hand, if you do it right, you can fix a lot of things in Illinois that need to be fixed: transit systems, water systems, healthcare buildings, the universities. The University of Illinois, just as one institution, has hundreds of millions of dollars of capital needs, and because those needs had not been met, we're actually losing faculty and we're actually losing students to other states. We have to fix that.
And I think truly the dilapidation of our infrastructure is a sad reflection on where this state has been drifting.
There's no question about that. But the interesting thing is that members on both sides of the aisle and in both chambers believe we need a capital bill. Now, some who believe we need it and some who are more than willing to have the money come to their communities won't be willing to pay for it. And that's something to watch out for.
Those are always the best votes to watch for, the guys who vote for the projects but don't vote for the funding for it.
Right. Well, I've always said if a legislator doesn't vote for the funding for the projects, his or her community shouldn't get the projects. Some think that's a little harsh. I don't. You want a bridge in your district, you help pay for it. You got to put the vote on the board to do it. But it probably won't happen that way. We'll probably end up putting a structured roll call together where we piece together the 71 votes in the House and the 36 votes in the Senate to make it happen. But I believe it will happen, and it will be a very good day for the state of Illinois, however it happens.
I kind of like that. That could be lose rule, you know, kind of a, we'll see if we can't slip that into the House rules a little bit.
I have a lot of rules, but they don't always follow them, Rick.
Understood. Lou Lang, former Democratic state representative from Skokie, thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you continued in Springfield. Thank you.
Thanks. I appreciate being on with you today.